What's up, you guys? Welcome to Disney Movie News. Today, we've got Meat Dripper and Bone Cruncher from the BFG. Get ready. You'll see what that means.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Disney Movie News.
Woo, what an intro, huh?
I mean, I'm scared. I'm scared about who's sitting next to us.
It's just a taste
right
of things to come. We have an awesome, awesome show today. Our first real official guest on the show today.
Yes.
Normally, we have some friends stop by and hang out with us, but today, we got the big money.
We have giants.
That's right. They're giants in their
BFG
field.
BFG giants.
That's right. And we're on tonight, guys. Get ready. So as we move through this episode, I want you guys to keep questions in mind and store them up, because at the end of the show, we're going to let you loose. We're going to let you ask whatever you want to know. But we've got all kinds of news before that, and they're going to interact with us. I am your host, Leo Camacho, and you can follow me at LeoZombie on Twitter and at Mr. LeoZombie everywhere else.
Hi, guys. I get to sit next to Leo today.
Oh,
it's
man.
Very exciting. He's, like, trying to scoot further away
from
me. Our
personal space is
I'm sorry. Anyways, my name is Keaton Markey. You guys can follow me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey. Okay, I don't want to... Okay, I can say Daniel Bacon. I can say that correctly.
Yes.
And then Paul Muniz de...
Sa.
See,
it's a short name.
Yeah.
Sa.
Yeah. Paul Muniz de Sa. And Daniel Bacon.
Yeah.
The giants from BFG. You guys just had the premiere last night.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How was that?
Yeah.
The lack of response is enough of a response.
It was crazy. It's
crazy.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's been, a really amazing road to get here. And I think just finally having that chance to get there, see the movie, and see each other.
Oh, it was your first time also seeing the movie.
That was my first time seeing the movie, too. So it was really special.
That's really
Where
cool.
Where was the premiere?
El Capitan.
And so first time seeing it, everybody was there, Spielberg, everybody.
Whole gang.
What did that feel like being in a theater, like the El Capitan Theater, first of all, have
with
you guys ever seen
player,
a film there?
Yeah, and they played music from
play
the
music.
Movie? Or was it just generic Disney music?
It was him off the top, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared.
Yeah, like they just sink him to the stage. It doesn't even matter what he's playing at that point.
Magic.
That's really cool. Congratulations, guys, for
Thank
having
you.
That experience.
Thank you very much.
And letting me experience vicariously through you.
And we're going to rush through the news.
We're
today,
just
going to
like tear through the moves. Like, the news is just.
It's not important.
Yeah,
because
it is important because, you know, it happened.
Yeah, no apologies.
And
so.
News is important, but I really want to get to the meat dripper of the conversation. But first order of business, Finding Dory just
I've
came
seen
out,
it
you guys.
Twice,
You've already
though.
Seen it twice. Which is almost relevant to the first piece of the Easter eggs, which have been revealed. People are already finding the Easter eggs in this movie, which are all over the place. I feel like they went a little ham on this one because it seemed like Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur didn't have that many Easter eggs. And on this one, they just laid it on real thick.
You guys know how, like, most Pixar movies have their end great. That, you guys, they are huge Disney fans, too.
Oh, so you're legit.
They know. They're legit, but they haven't seen Finding Dory yet, so
I
can't ruin it.
Minus 1 point from Gryffindor. Okay, so.
That's okay. I'm a Slytherin.
the main Easter egg that appears in it, first of all, is the truck? Have they revealed the truck yet?
I've seen it twice, and I did
you
not.
Didn't see the
I
truck.
Was not even paying attention to the Easter eggs because it was just
yeah,
so cute.
It's
and good.
It's a, first
and
of all, it's a visually
it.
Stunning movie.
It's so beautiful. The water, the fish, the eyes. I felt like the eyes of the fish were so
especially Baby
cool.
Dory.
Oh my God, Baby Dory.
Anyway, we're like getting you guys hyped without
Baby Dory.
That's a really good impression, actually. Without even seeing the movie, nailing the impression. But next to the Pixar truck, there is the A113, which is the class at CalArts, which most of the Pixar early artists got their start at. And it's already been revealed, and they hit it in a really... It's actually in the movie twice.
Really?
Yeah, but the most creative way is on the two sea lions, which... What are their names? Rudder and...
literally one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah,
they're in maybe two or three scenes, and they're
hilarious. And it's Idris Elba and what's the other dude from The Wire? Basically, they're enemies in the show The Wire, and here they're best friends, and they just yell at people all day. But they have tags on their fins. And the first tag says A1, and the second tag says 1-3. So next time you're watching the scene, look at their
tags.
But there's all kinds. And then the other one that really that kind of got me all jazzed up in Disney Fanny was show the next image. Look back there. There's a poster. There's a photo pinned to the wall, and it's Darla from the first. Finding Nemo, the one who actually worked, who's at the dentist's office.
Oh, yeah,
office.
She's holding the
thing.
The
bag.
That's that picture, yeah.
That's her back there. thought that was so cool. Like, how
did you notice that?
No, I absolutely did not. But a lot of them are already online. So if you look up Finding Dory Easter eggs, you can find out. And actually, her tag is also an Easter egg, if I'm not mistaken. I just can't remember what for. There's a ton of numbers and addresses and birthdays and things like that hidden in every number in this movie. Like, everything
Pixar
is significant in some way.
I feel
way.
Like they, like, must get bored. They're like, let's put more in. It's like, how much time you people. Have to make these, like, movies?
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
you
Scott,
can, like,
when
do
were you
all
born?
This stuff.
Yeah, let's just make his birthday the thing. And that's what they're doing. That's how they
yeah.
roll.
Hey, guess what I'm going to do here, guys? Watch this. It's funny. Like,
yeah, I mean, it must be. That's how they entertain themselves with hours of rendering that they're doing.
This is true.
Oh, did you just go to the... Oh, yeah. You can see, like, there's one on the tag. Even, like, the letters on the boxes and the boats... when the boat pulls up and picks her up, you know. You know what I'm talking about? No spoilers.
Watch your spoilers.
You don't know who? You don't know who? Just saying, guys.
Don't talk about boats and butts like that.
Boats and butts. Just watch closely when you see that movie. Okay, moving on.
We should move on.
We'll move on to the
thing. Wait, let's just say overall thoughts of the movie.
Oh, overall thoughts. Overall thoughts.
So we can move on.
I liked it a lot. I don't know if I like... Here's the thing. The first movie was so good. It was so original, and it was... so captivating, right? And it's like you're taking those characters. It was learning about those characters that really appealed to me and just kind of exploring this world. Mm-hmm. This movie expands on that, and it looks better than the first one. But I don't know if it has the same exact charm. It's a fun adventure, and I love the movie. But I don't know if it has that exact, you know, sort of wonder that the first one did. How do you feel?
So Finding Nemo, favorite Pixar film.
If Finding Nemo's a 10, this is a 9, though. That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
I liked this almost... watching them back-to-back at Dory After Dark... it was very fun. watching them back to back, I felt the pacing of this movie was so much better than Finding Nemo.
It's very fast paced.
It was very fast paced, which I really very much enjoyed. I don't know if that was just because I was so exhausted by the time the second movie started at 2 a.m. at the El Capitan Theater. But I don't know. I just thought it was more fun. It was quicker jokes. It was wittier. I think you're so right about the first one was so new and something so different. Mm-hmm. But I felt like they were able to make up for those things with the new characters.
Standard, oh
my gosh. The octopus, like Ed O'Neill.
He killed it. Amazing.
Killed it as the octopus. I thought the writing on this was so good.
Is this making you guys want to see it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be
yeah,
back.
Yeah, you're literally leaving here.
He, like, just, like, walks, all of a sudden the door slides open. But I thought all the characters that were kind of the supporting characters in this
all
movie
the new
were
characters
so
were
much stronger
and
than they were in the
everybody
last
everybody gets
movie.
Their moment, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they just threw characters in for the sake of having...
Ty Burrell. Oh, my.
So good. He's so good. He's a beluga whale who learns to use a sonar for the first time. It's amazing. Like, who thought of that?
Oh, my gosh. It's
an amazing movie. I want to know from the chat, you guys, let me know if you have seen the movie. What do you think? Type it in the chat. Let's see some
everyone's
thoughts. Who was your favorite
Hank,
character?
Hank,
everybody loves
Hank.
I don't even have to ask. Everybody's about Hank. He was so amazing. The way they utilized his camouflage was so creative in this movie. But yeah, go see it if you haven't.
And we're going to talk about
go
it in more in depth haven't. Next week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get it. When Sarah comes back, we'll really break it down for you guys. Let's move on to my section of the
Star Wars.
Nothing but Star Wars.
Those great big crazy
Star Wars.
Guys.
Oh. Hey.
Music to my ears.
Sarah's not here to roll her eyes
at
us this week.
When Sarah, the other host of the show, isn't on, we go Star Wars crazy because she hates it. She just,
no.
She doesn't hate Star Wars.
Yeah, I hate Star Wars.
She doesn't hate Star Wars. Sarah, you've been replaced.
That made my heart.
Listen,
yes.
BFG was your stepping stone to being a host on Disney News. I'm glad you were
yep.
able to make it.
Yep.
Star Wars, guys. I know a couple of episodes ago we were talking about the rumors that Darth Vader might be in Rogue One, and it has been confirmed.
Woo!
Entertainment Weekly has stated that he is going to be in the movie. He is going to be in the movie, which gives some weight to the other rumor that he will be involved in some major battle scenes, like actually on the battlefield, partaking in some
like
Rogue
less
One battles.
Old Darth Vader, like
yeah.
maybe like more.
Here's my question: he's mostly a robot.
Yeah.
Does he age? Like, does his body go through the aging process?
Well, you know, that's one of the things about when they did the reboots, right? They did the remakes, and they had originally an older man, and then
mm-hmm,
they put.
Mm-hmm.
How
do you feel about
Hayden
that? The re-ghosting of
Whoa,
Anakin Skywalker.
It's tough for me. Mm-hmm. I was at 7, it was the first sort of major film experience I had was to go to Star Wars, and so the original is like so close to my
yeah,
heart, and so
yeah.
when they made little changes, I was like, it's not what it used to be.
Who shot
well,
first?
The, right.
Who
I don't. The prequel. prequels are just meh.
Here's what I would say. The prequels, yeah, you know, take it or leave it. But I feel like it set up the lore of the Jedi really well. You know, it gave them structure. The problem is then it, like, debunked whatever Vader was. Yeah. So, you know, ups and downs with Star Wars. But yeah, we're going to get some Vader action, which is really cool. And apparently other familiar Star Wars faces. As a matter of fact, who's the actor that they cast as a young Han Solo? Apparently he might have a cameo. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. The guy from Hail Caesar. Yes, and he was the best part of Hail Caesar. He was so good. I could not. I honestly, when they had like the breakdown of all the actors that were up for that Han Solo role, I was like, ooh, I don't really know. Like, I don't actually like any of these guys. Really, they should have cast the guy.
I was going to ask what I was about to
say. Who played the young guy in The Age of Adeline? The young Harrison Ford. Yes.
He was up for it.
Oh my gosh, he was.
Well, like, you know,
he looks just like him and can do his voice, and it's crazy.
We'll see. Well, I mean, maybe it was like too much, right? They wanted a kind of a completely fresh take on Han Solo.
I don't question it anymore. Like, yeah. I think he's going to do a great job if he beat out all those guys. And he was again, mm-hmm. the best part of Hail Caesar.
So. Yeah, there's a... So Entertainment Weekly it's right. Aldrin and...
How do you do that name?
Even.
Enrin Wright.
That sounds like an elf in Lord of the Rings. That's like what that is a Lord of the Rings.
Aldrin Irwindale Enrin Wright.
Son of
sealed deal. Yeah, so Entertainment Weekly, we are on the cover. I say we because I am collectively part of the Star Wars universe. Which is really exciting. So a lot of details are starting to spill. Guys, we're 6 months away from a new Star Wars movie. How cool is that?
It's
right
awesome.
Around the corner.
And then a year away from the next episode.
So a year, oh, yeah, that's right, because it's coming out earlier. It's not doing December next year, yes. Which is insane. I'm super stoked about it. How do you guys feel about Darth Vader being in the movie? Are you excited? Is he your favorite villain of all time? The answer is yes. Thank you. Moving on. This is our last piece of news before we get to the real meat and potatoes. Guys, the thing you've all been waiting for, I know that you lose sleep at night wondering if this would ever happen.
Oh, my
God. And it is confirmed there will be a Frozen Lego short movie. Guys.
Why?
Rejoice.
I don't need any more Frozen in my life.
It is apparently going to be an original story using familiar faces, minus Hans.
Hans is the worst.
Using Lego characters. How Disney approved this, I will never know. But we don't know much about the story other than they all go on an adventure together and they are made of Lego.
Really glad you threw that piece of news in this week, Leo.
Here's the thing. Every piece of news for the last week is finding Dory and BFG. Everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, well, we don't need to cover too much BFG because we're going to be getting into that. And Dory, all right, we've got a piece of news in there already. But Frozen Lego... I mean, it's like the Renaissance
think, you know,
all over.
Lego's like trying to reach out to a female demographic. You know, Lego's always tried to reach out to a female demographic. I feel like, but they've never really succeeded because they make the girl version of Legos like bigger and easier,
yeah,
and
well,
it's like whoa.
I was about
whoa,
to say whoa. I'm a little peeved at this because they broke their stereotypical Lego look. Like even the characters in the Lego movie look like Lego Man. These guys look a little bit more like Duplo characters. With their necks and
I know, right?
Yes,
right?
Just drops it like Duplo.
Duplo, like no, Duplo. This is just part of normal conversation.
It's a little too advanced for me. We'll see. I'll withhold my initial review before I even see the movie. But
that Sven with
I don't know what's
Olaf
going
on his head is
like
really that's freaking me out,
yeah,
a lot.
I don't know what's going to happen. But also, additionally, they just opened the Frozen ride at Epcot Center, and there are videos of that online, and it is a technological feat. It is a wonder.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched the entire Frozen show.
Oh, yeah, that
Disneyland.
Also launched.
That's all. That's on
there's
mine
like an
right
hour-long
now, too.
Stage
show for Frozen.
Wow.
Everything is Frozen now. But I watched it, and it was actually, you know, better
and,
than
and everything is Frozen. It links up.
Everything is Frozen. Everything is cool when it's part
cool?
of...
Cool?
No.
That's a really good... Right. Gotcha.
Okay.
All right, enough with the dad jokes and enough with the news, guys. Thank you for coming and being
thank
on the show.
Thank you for having us here.
This is really cool. We've never had real movie stars on set before. So, guys, get your questions ready. But let's just begin here. What was it like when you found out you were going to be in this movie? I want to know the initial thought. Like, what goes through your head when you find out you're going to be a giant?
you're going to be a giant in a Steven Spielberg Disney movie.
I was going to say, there are multiple layers here. Not only is it Disney, not only is it Steven Spielberg, but it's like a childhood classic. Like, this is one of those things.
I'm not sure what yours was like. I had a very interesting one in that when I got the initial email from my agent that for
you
the audition.
You got it through an email. Oh, for the audition.
For the audition. And I'm like, A giant. I'm 5'9", like 170. How am I going to play a giant? What is this? So I read further, and then as I whittled my way through, I'm like, oh, he's directing it. Okay, maybe we should...
I can be a giant.
Pay attention to this. And then we it was very interesting because we had to create a scene. We had a scene of scripted dialogue, and then we had to create a scene for ourselves. So it was a very interesting process to have to then go about creating something. And so I went out, read the book, watched the animated film, and just prepped as much as I could to prepare for it, and then did the one audition. And, you know, I was surprised to not get a second callback or anything.
You just did the one.
Apparently did the one. And then about 3 weeks later, I got a call that I was on a short list of about 10 or so. I'm like, oh, okay.
You're like, there's only 9 giants.
Right? And then I was on another short list a few days later. I'm like, okay, I'm whittling down. And then about 5 days after that, I got the call that, in the morning, my agent says, how's your morning going? I'm like, it's good. She goes, I think it might get better. I'm like, what's going on? She goes, well, I have news for you that you've been approved as a giant. And I went, okay, cool.
I guess that is big news.
Big news.
Thank you. You're a little slow at that, Angels. I needed that.
BFGM.
Right. I can, see his mouse searching for the sound effect.
Yeah, mine was a little different, actually, because I actually wasn't submitted for anything. And I went into audition for something else, and to be honest with you, I have no idea what it is now. but they were holding auditions for...
Conan the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm. And it was good times. The casting agent was just having a good time. Every time she'd leave the audition room, she'd be laughing and just going, this is so much fun. And, she'd just keep saying hi to me. And then eventually she came out, just went, you'd be great for this.
What?
And I went, sure. And she said, so, are you available to audition on Wednesday? And I was like, sure.
Yes,
no idea. All I know is that the people that I was seeing going into that audition room were actors that I actually really respected. So when she said, I think you'd be great for this, I'd like to bring you in for an audition, I said, sure. I called my agent and said, they want to bring me in for this giant thing. And my agent just went, wow, that's big.
Got that pun.
And I had no idea what she was talking about. Because honestly, I didn't know. No one was saying what the project was. Sure. It was only once I then got the email with the sides that I saw, oh, it's Steven Spielberg. Now I get what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'm going to have a good time here, do my thing. And
I think that was the best part, because we spoke about, amongst there was four of us from Vancouver that were cast as giants, and we said, they saw so many people. Like, what did we do that stood
That's
out
so
from
cool,
these
though.
Other people?
There's something about that organic sort of
we all
process.
Had fun. You know what I mean? All of us spoke.
There was in the audition, there was actually this section where the giant was sleeping, and the night before I was looking at my son, and my son was doing this. And I actually went, I'm using it. She did that.
Lock it in.
Is he in the credits? I want to make sure he gets properly credited. Yeah.
I actually got partially naked for mine. Not in a bad way. I had.
Well, you got the role.
Listen, we all have that thing that puts us in that space.
Yeah,
I understand.
I had track pants on, and I rolled them up and made sort of a diaper sort of thing, and then took my shirt off and. owning my,
you slathered mud all over your body.
Yeah, the dad bod that I was inheriting.
Dad bods are in now, guys.
So.
Dad bods are in.
By the way, you guys got some Vancouver fam, apparently, in the chat. Shout outs to Vancouver.
Fancy. Woo-hoo! 604.
Are you both from Vancouver?
Yeah.
What? Is that just pure coincidence? Or did they sense it? They're like, oh, these Vancouver kids, make them some giants.
Well, there's four of us.
There's four of us.
There's five Canadians, one from Toronto, and then four from Vancouver.
You guys shot in Vancouver, right?
Yes. Yeah, we actually shot just down the street from my house.
Yeah, he walked to set.
I kind of live in this lovely little forested community.
As a giant should, by the
way. You know what? The funny thing is, it was, every day I'd walk to the studio. And I'd start, walking to the giant.
You lumbered in.
I'd put music on my headphones, just...
What is your giant
you pump-up
song?
Lunch.
Giant pump-up song?
Giant pump-up song.
Holy cow. And I have music for so many things. I don't know if I had a giant
You didn't have a giant
song?
One?
A giant pump-up song?
No.
Like, what song did they listen to get into
Oh, pump-up.
Pump-up.
Pump-up,
yeah.
Got it.
Pump-up song.
I think the one I probably
what,
used.
What would there was the we had a little thing that we did was from West Side Story with the
was
the
jets so much
and the sharks, you know.
Oh my god!
So we had that. We'd walk in, you know.
Donna.
So that was there. So
we that was lots of fun.
That's so cool.
How long did you guys shoot?
Yeah, that was my next
question.
We were
there 2 months.
Yeah, just over 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah,
every day for 2 months, just doing knocking out voices.
Well, there was a lot of rehearsals. So yeah. We had a lot of movement rehearsal because we'd work out
it's performance capture.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Oh, really?
So yeah, so it's not voices. Well. It's actually, it's performance capture.
We were in the suits, the gray suits.
Yeah.
With the dots.
The dots.
That's very cool.
The helmet cam.
Had you done mocap before? And
I hadn't. No.
Really?
No.
What was that experience like?
You know, it was actually really amazing. What I loved about it is that we had that time to play together to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
start to develop the relationships amongst the nine.
Yeah, a bit of a hierarchy.
Not so friendly giants.
And even just, you know...
By the way, hierarchy. Okay.
every time. We could just go for days.
For days. But yeah, no, we started creating a lot of backstories and relationships with each of these giants,
sure.
too. You know, Daniel's actually, his character's got a bit of a...
Yeah, I had, the Terry Notary, our choreographer, took little elements of our own personal things, and we would, like, integrate it into our giant.
So cool.
And I'd had a bit of a hip injury, and so one side is stronger than the other for me. So we said, well, what if one side was really strong and the other one... So I did this thing where this arm was dead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a few days after we'd done this, we had to do a procession for Stephen. And we walked around as our giant so he could get a sense of us and get a look. And when I did that, he's like, oh, this is great. I like this. Because when we were doing the testing in L.A., one of the guys did this. But you know what really sells this? Is we put weights on you.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, oh. So he had like a 25-pound weight on my arm and on my ankle. And about, I don't know, 2 weeks later, I'm like, why do my ribs hurt?
Only my left side.
He got it.
Yes.
He got it.
There we go.
You're on top of that.
What was the first time meeting Stephen like? And like, I mean, as an actor,
sure,
I feel like that is... Like, that is a director that, like, that's on your short list, if not number one.
He came to your house, right? Like, he came by my house and just knocked on the door and said, hey, what's up?
Hey,
thanks
dude.
For doing my... No.
Oh, I was like, this is what
he does?
He just walked up the trail to my place.
Yeah. With a 25-pound weight.
Yeah.
And put this on.
Well, we were, like, presented to him.
It was.
Lord Spielberg.
Well, you know, we were also lucky because... we were in there before all the giants were too. So I think there was about four of us that were doing something else too.
Yeah, and you know, you might catch a glimpse of
of the beard
of something. Oh, I had no beard because the dots. You had to put the dots on your face.
Yeah.
So I had no beard. The beard was gone for the whole show.
Did you see what your characters looked like?
Yeah,
like, could you see them?
That was my next question. Yeah. Or did they make them look like you in post?
Well, if anybody thinks that my giant looks like me, I'm kind of offended.
I meant small
traits.
Not
very good looking at all.
They kind of morphed a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they kind of morphed a little bit. You know, it was interesting because we were able to get kind of an idea of what the giant was going to look like as we moved. So as we were in the volume, we had that ability to create that, the physicality, and see what that would look like on screen. But, I mean... The detail was...
Well, it's really funny you said that because after a while, I watched the trailer a couple times, even before I knew that we were going to be talking to you, because what really kind of caught my attention was the way they moved through their physical space, right? In their physical space. And the scene when they show all of the bad giants kind of walk up to the old... what's the main giant's name? I don't even know.
The BFG.
Is it just the BFG?
The big friendly giant.
He's the
or Paul. Sometimes we call him Paul.
Paul.
No, it's the BFG.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
My son was very disappointed that I wasn't playing the BFG.
Yeah.
Well, you're a bigger FG. Well, not so friendly giant. My point was, when they walk up to him for the first time, they like push a bridge out of the way. But the way they all kind of...
Circle around.
And I noticed... I'm like, God, these guys have so much attitude in their movement that just like it just oozes, like the character oozes out of the screen.
You can't just be like lumber guy.
You have to have
like a reason
why you move the way you move.
Yeah.
I'm the giant and I'm the best and I'm intimidating.
My giant, you know, people ask me, well, what's your giant? I go, well, mine's got a bit of urban flavor. He's shade darker than the others. Shaved head. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was that element that I had, you know. So
you had the cred.
Yeah, because I feel like if you guys knew what these guys kind of looked like beforehand, it kind of gave you an idea of what to put into these characters.
Yeah, how much did the book help you do that?
Well, Quentin Blake, who does the animation in the book, it borrows on that, but it is a slight different look from what he has in the book. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the things that I really loved was being able to speak with a costume designer too, and actually see the giants were also going to wear. Like for me, the Meat Dripper has this suit of armor that's, you know, around his neck and just hanging.
Oh, it's like, you know, like a normal person.
It was his bling, right? Yeah. You know, it was just that suit of armor. And I don't know, for me, that became kind of this talisman for me.
Yeah.
You know, it became a part of my backstory of that was my first kill.
Yeah.
That was very much, for me, like, that's, I wear that with
the first fight, you know? Put up a fight. Yeah.
It was huge that way.
They did an amazing job of having us be individuals, and you know, that's just in terms of the look and the style and energy of each of them, it's not just working with Steven. Like, there's a whole team of people that he brings, certain people in each department, from hair to makeup to wardrobe to sound, that are all just like at the top of their game, like multi Oscar winners. And so it was really great to be immersed in people that are just have been doing this for so long and are so good at what they do, and were so humble. Like, you would never know that, you know,
that's
what
crazy.
The work they'd done.
You guys have been working for forever. What was it like? Like, what type of director is Steven to work with? Like, and you guys have worked with lots of directors.
Yeah,
you know, I think what he's got a lot of heart. I think that's the biggest thing I would say is, you know, I never felt like he was coming and going, I'm Steven Spielberg. You know, he knew what he wanted, and he got the right people and trusted everyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing. For me, it was an honor just to feel like I was in here and I was trusted with his role.
I was blown away how sharp he was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, having the catalog of films he's done, and as done as long as he has, he was just came in every day full of energy and was really sharp, knew every little detail. Like, if there was ever a question about, oh, is it this or is this, he always was right in terms of what element that they were looking at.
And there's such a love for film. I mean, that's the thing about it, too. You know, you could see that every day, that love for film, and I thought it was really contagious in that way.
He's very in tune with the audience experience as well. So a lot of times he's like, well, what's the audience experience from this? So, you know, whether, you know, you think he's cutting edge or avant-garde or whatever, it's not about that. It's about, you know, that the people who will see this film will
enjoy. He's making it, but he's also watching it.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, very
exactly.
Much so. Yeah. Yeah, I love that there were times where, you know, we're acting and I could just see him lying down on the floor watching.
That was by far the
amazing
highlight of the whole experience for me. There's a bit at the end, it's in the book, where, you know, they're getting taken away, the evil giants, and they had this sort of netting that we could lie in, and then they lifted us off the ground. And at one point, I got lifted off, and Steven laid down underneath me with his Starbucks mug. And was just like, all right, Dan, let's go, you know? And they're like, he doesn't just know my name. Like, he's laying on the floor underneath me.
That, like, imagery will forever be seen.
You'll never watch E.T. the same way.
No. What does he drink? Like, what is in that coffee cup?
What do I need? What do
Magic.
I need That's very cool. I'm just curious, is this like a departure from previous work that you've done? Is this something totally new and different and fantasy? Or have you done work along these lines before?
I've never done performance capture before, so that was a whole new experience. I've done a lot of sci-fi.
A
lot of sci-fi films in Vancouver, too, so I've done a lot of sci-fi.
But were you human in the sci-fi?
I've
branched into doing voiceover in the last few years. So I've done a cartoon series. I did Iron Man Armored Adventures.
Oh, sure.
And I'm doing Bob the Builder at the current
time. Oh, yeah, you're Leo.
I'm Leo, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, boring a little bit from that. You know what I mean? Because when you're doing, especially with Prelay, you have to, like, really sort of embody and give it a sense, because they're going to draw it from whatever you do. So so having that Prelay experience, I'm like, okay, I know what I can
That's
do
cool.
with this. Yeah. And one of the other things he did is Steven was really in tune with, like, working with Braids' Bill Hader and Jermaine Clement. I mean, you know, two very funny guys. And if we were riffing just beforehand, before we were actually starting a take, Steven would hear and go, I like that. Let's try that. And so he was really collaborative and would, like, incorporate
and
things.
Organic.
Organic,
like, yeah.
It's funny because you place so much trust in him, and he's really just putting all the trust on you, right? Like, you do what you do. This is why we brought you in here. Exactly. You guys have this natural chemistry. That's why we chose. That's really neat. That's such an amazing part of the story.
Now, the trailers, I've watched them many times. This movie feels dark to me.
Yeah.
Is it dark or, like, is it Disney? Or is it like Harry Potter?
Isn't that lovely? Is it dark or is it Disney? That's lovely. Sorry.
But you know, like old school Disney was a little dark. Yeah, you look at Black Cauldron, you look at a lot of like the live action films that Disney did back in the '80s.
Did you just throw a Black Hole?
Yeah.
I love Black Hole.
That's a good movie.
Thank you. That made my night.
You are so welcome. But is this kind of like a throwback to that, or does this lighten up and
like, I don't know, like, is this a spoiler?
Okay, yeah, then I don't want to know.
Is this Harry Potter?
Am I going to be scared?
And the Philosopher's Stone, or is this Harry Potter and
Prisoner of Azkaban?
No,
or
let's go.
Half-Blood Prince.
Like, where are we on the spectrum of dark?
Without spoilers, probably closer to Philosopher's Stone.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But if you look at the book, if you read the book, it's a story about the BFG and Sophie.
Yeah, right.
And so I think, you know, it wasn't any different than what my expectations as someone who read the book had said. I said, you know, it's a story about those two. And I think, you know, if you looked at, you know, having the late Melissa Matheson as the screenwriter, there you can see and feel a lot of the E.T. parallels.
Mm. Oh, really?
It. Yeah. So when I read the script, I can feel...
E.T. is terrifying, though.
So there's none of us have keys, though. So none of us have any keys on us. So there's that. So you have to worry about that.
Okay.
By the way, I like to use this is just a random tangent note, but like E.T. was like the last movie that I feel captured that 80s household that was completely messy, and then after that, no houses were ever messy in movies ever again.
It's so true. You know what I'm talking about? It's so true.
It's like whatever happened to messy houses in movies?
Yeah, my house
every
is still
house
messy.
Is perfect.
We'll film every movie there.
Well, sure, it's down the street from where they filmed BFG, so it's close to the studios.
Maybe if they invited me. You know, maybe if I could have been like the little giant. The little friendly giant. Yeah. That would have been cool.
What do you guys, I know... I want to keep talking about BFG, but I also want you guys to have a chance to talk about like
what's next?
Projects are coming up for you. Who wants to go first?
I just shot an episode of the show called Shut High for Hulu. Guest spot on that.
When can we see that?
I believe that actually starts in August.
Okay.
Actually, they'll start airing that. And it's actually interesting because I won't be able to see it in Canada.
That's right. They have totally different rules. Yeah. So,
but it's an amazing project. I think the actors are top notch and the scripts are unreal. I think it's really going to be a great piece. Yeah.
That's really cool. What kind of story are we talking about?
Well, it's got a bit of... it's kind of about the Roma culture, the gypsy culture.
Oh, and, that's cool.
And it's got a bit of... you know, almost a mafia-esque type quality to it.
I love
it.
That.
Yeah, and it's I'm not going to say dark, but it's also really witty. As I said, I thought it was really well written too. The scripts are absolutely fabulous. And it's interesting because I kind of play this a college professor who's part of that family, but no
one... China.
Yeah, but really kind of going, we want to bring the Roma culture to life. And they're going, no, that's not, don't do that. Don't do that.
Chill out, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Isabella Rossellini's in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she plays, I say she plays my aunt, but really I play her nephew, and she doesn't like me.
Oh, he's such a lovable guy. He's
such a lovely man.
You both are very lovely men. It's sad that you both played these evil giants. I can't. I'm
gonna like fall in love with the giants. I'm like, you guys aren't evil.
Yes.
So cute.
Yeah.
So that's next. That's your next. That's your next bag.
Yeah. That's cool. That's it.
What's on your plate?
As I mentioned, I'm doing Bob the Builder, so I voice Leo currently. I have a really nice role in Brain on Fire, which I don't think has a release date yet, but I think the fall, which is based on the book of the same name about Suzanne Cahalan. And I got to work opposite Chloe Grace Moretz, which was super cool. And
she's really
which version of her? She plays like so. She has like such a crazy range.
You know, and she's really. I was really kind of impressed by how well she played it, because the character is going through a descent into almost a madness, if you will. And I thought she did such a great job with what she did. So that was really cool. And Hallmark Channel does a number of films in Vancouver. And I seem to have fallen into their favor. Not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
But they're really cool because they have a lot of these like 80s and 90s stars that, you know, as the leads in it. So I got to work with Jenny Garth recently. And then Danica Keller from Winnie Cooper from Wonder Years.
Yeah, totally.
And then I actually fly home tomorrow and I'll be working with Debbie Gibson.
What?
Yeah. So.
You guys are in the right company.
I need to move to Canada.
Yeah. Actually, we're not Canadians anymore. I don't want to get political too far, but we've been now dubbed Snow Mexicans by one of your presidential candidates.
Did he really say that?
Snow Mexicans. Which is kind of sexy. I think he was trying to knock us.
It's about hot, like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, living in Southern California and speaking Spanish, I'm automatically Mexican. And when I refute that, they go, oh, so you're a European Mexican. You're always some kind of Mexican in the States. That's just the way it goes. Man, that's really cool.
That is cool.
I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. The Leo thing. Leo is Bob the Builder. Because my name is Leo, anybody named Leo or sees a character named Leo. So I had a weird little moment when I saw that in your IMDb. I'm like, I know that. I know that character.
Leo should have been fired a few times.
He should have been.
My character is like, I'm like, every time I read a script, I'm like, really? I'm like, and he's keeping me on?
I have one particular memory of a clip where he was making a wave for a tank. And I believe it's a crane, tells him it looks like a shark fin. And he's like, you're right. I was like, what kind of carpenter are you?
Yeah. Well, the worst part, too, is like both with Iron Man and with Bob the Builder, I don't change my voice. And it makes me realize, you know, as somebody who's in my 40s, that I sound like a 15-year-old.
Well, that was my next question. You're the voice of the Giants. Can you do the voices?
Yeah, can you do your voices?
Or is it just your natural voice?
No, it's not my natural voice.
No.
We all have to do the accents.
Yeah, they wanted a flavoring of a British accent. That was part of the audition, is that we had to do it in a British accent.
Had you spoken in a British accent for prolonged periods of time before?
The crazy thing is Paul's originally from the Azores.
He's from Portugal.
Okay.
I'm originally from England, and two of the other Canadian judges are both from England as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was in your blood.
It's in our blood.
Yeah.
Can you say maybe just hello?
Just like a line.
Just say hello in your giant
voice. Hello. Oi, Rod. Hello.
That's so dope. I know it's like hello, but I'm just like losing my mind.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. Do you guys like, because you just had a baby, right?
Yes.
Oh,
just had a baby, and you have an 8-year-old.
Well, I didn't have the baby.
You
wife
did not have
did,
the baby, but you missed Star Wars because of the baby.
Yes, I did.
It's okay. It's all worth it. It's so
when the baby gets old enough, I want you to bring it up like, hey, I just want you to know.
I don't want to hijack, but there's a sort of a funny sequence. So he was actually due on December 21st, and my wife went into labor early on the night of the 17th, and I had 2 a.m. tickets. So overnight, the baby was delivered. But he ended up being born on Steven Spielberg's birthday.
What?
And I found out during the filming of the movie she was pregnant.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Crazy.
How long ago did you guys film this? Like 2 years ago?
Last year. I guess it was March
end of
to
March
May.
To May.
To May, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
That's fairly fast turnaround, I think, for the scope of the CG.
So do you guys read to your kid? Like, will you read to your kids? You read to your
I do, actually. And I have to say, I don't. I don't read in that voice. That voice, because he tells me to stop it. But I did try reading the BFG to him. And with the first line being, it was the witching hour, he went, no, turn it off. Turn it off. It's like, buddy, it's a book.
That's
going
to be my go-to line now to get people to stop. Turn it off.
Turn it off.
That's amazing.
Turn it off. I'm just going to tell you, Leo. Next time.
I was
going
to say that you
just
can use that tool against me here. Did you guys get to see the application of like the visual? Like, did you get to see the characters? Because you're acting it out, but did you get to see sort of like a mock-up of it happening in the computer?
In real time.
In real time. Or shortly after.
Kinda.
So you had a feeling of what it would look like.
I mean, the guys from Weta, they know what they're doing. They're killing it. And so we...
Well, yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, it was... the setup was, because I also watched when other people were on in the volume as well, and so you could see what was happening live. They had monitors where you can see us, and then you could also see the animation happening. And but the animation, as I said, it wasn't as detailed. But we did get at least an idea of the vastness of the place of giant country. Right.
And do you make adjustments when you see that? You're like, oh, okay, and then kind of go, oh, well, let's
To some extent, you really do, because you know it actually does make a difference. Sure. You know, finding that weight. If I didn't have that kind of weight in the lower half of my body. You could see that actually.
It's so detailed. Like every little movement you make,
we
catch it.
That's so
cool. And it's kind of cool because they said, you know, you don't have to be actually doing a take in order to capture the footage. We could just be sitting, as long as we're in the volume, we were just interacting with each other. You could make faces and do movements.
That was the beautiful thing. It didn't matter where you were, because they were catching everything at all points
in time. And they could just rearrange it in 3D space.
And that's exactly it. So it was actually, I think, really wonderful way of working, because they didn't have to reset anything in order to get a different look, right? They could automatically do all that stuff later, going, we just want to close up here and dig this here. So for
and in
me,
a sense, it's like your guard drops, right? You just become more
it was wonderful. It was just always offering. And it was even times too that because we had these cameras right here, right in our face.
Was it on a rig?
Yeah. So it didn't matter where we were going, this thing was always a close up.
Yeah.
And there were times when I remember being seated and all of a sudden they'd start filming and the light would go on and all of a sudden my face would
yeah, it was really great what happened the other day.
It was like you're on switch.
And it was. It really was. Really? Light goes on. Like Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Well, the guys from Weta, too, were telling us that, like, you know, like I said, just do stuff, because if you are Pirates of the Caribbean fan,
sure.
Bill Nighy's character, when he would do the little sort
Bootstrap.
Of...
He played Davy Jones.
Yeah, he did the little pop. He goes, that was just something that built, and we just, you know, we caught it, and we're able to accentuate that. So they're like, do little stuff like that, we'll capture it, and we'll add it in. So
I was actually thinking about that specifically when you brought up the suit of armor, because every single trinket on Jack Sparrow, he made a story for, and it's why you believe that character so wholeheartedly, because he has a story for everything, even if you never see it.
You know, I mean, it's sort of, you know, you hear it all the time, but attention to detail makes such a difference in a story, you know, and from our giants to the way the book is written by Roald Dahl to the attention to detail that Stephen put into this. I mean, you'll see when you go into the BFG's home, like there's little things everywhere and everything's got a backstory for it, which is really cool.
Is it as messy as E.T.'s home? Just want to...
Well, we are...
Only once we go in there.
Oh, spoiler. Are running low on time. We're going to take three questions from the chat room.
All right, guys. They're loving it. They're saying
awesome. They're like obsessed with it.
Are goals.
Wait, Charlie Sloan asked, if you guys could switch roles with anyone in the movie, which role would you want to switch with and why?
Ooh. Oh, what was that? I like this one too.
You like that?
I don't know.
If I could switch roles with anyone.
I don't know.
I mean, if you wouldn't want to.
With each other?
No.
I really like my character, personally.
Yeah, me too.
Fine.
I had a really great time. As you know, I really liked the camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, we're the giants and we're, you know, the mean giants.
Yeah.
But, you know, the relationships with all of us, we just kind of... started to we like
bonded,
each other
like,
we bonded
yeah,
we,
yeah, yeah.
We,
absolutely
I remember when Daniel told me that his wife was pregnant. I mean, that was on set. It was big news. You know, we still actually we still chat. We still get together.
That's cool.
It was funny.
Well, you guys are near each other.
You know, I used to say to my wife, we're going up with the Giants tonight.
Yeah, you guys have like a giant group chat.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We do.
We were all
still
messaging
it here,
each
actually.
Other before a game because Dari Olofsson, he's from Iceland, and so we know, I'm coming in, guys. We're like, okay, we'll see you.
Party? Yeah,
you know. The camaraderie was actually really, really big, and Jermaine, too.
Yeah. It's just, Bill was really cool, and Bill was was super cool too. You know, he was so he was very like, "Hey guys, do you feel as silly in this gray suit as
that's
I
a
do?"
Really good. Even with
yeah.
How old did you say your son?
My son's 8 years old.
8 years old. Is he freaking out? Does he think it's super cool?
I think he's starting to get it now. Yeah. I think, to be honest with you, last year I don't think he quite understood it, mm-hmm. but I think now as things have started to kind of come out and he can start to see the giant and he actually can see who I am and he kind of has realized, wow, actually this is kind of a bigger deal.
Like you guys might even actually have like action figures. You guys might have toys.
You ready for that?
That's like an actor's dream. Like you know, you gotta have that action figure or that toy at some point.
Right now I just pretend all of Oscar Isaac's toys are mine.
Black Widow.
Well, I did see a BFG bobblehead yesterday. Yeah.
That's fun. Well, cool. Get ready. I'm sure for like the next like 5 years, you guys will just continuously get BFG gifts.
Great.
And sure. Maybe there's a sequel. Like I hope you guys didn't get killed off because maybe there's a sequel. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows? Okay, next question.
Emily Saunders.
Emily Saunders, if you could voice a character in any Disney movie, what character and what movie?
I know exactly who mine would be.
Oh, wow. He had it prepared.
Well, because it now falls under the canon of Disney. Lando Calrissian.
Oh. Do you have a Billy Dee Williams impression?
I have a Billy Dee Williams story.
But we don't have enough time.
No,
we don't have enough time to tell the story properly.
Which is a shame because I love
Billy Dee Williams. Can we hear the story afterwards?
Yes.
And then, okay, cool. We'll let you guys in. We'll let you guys in on
maybe
the secrets.
Maybe I'll Snapchat it.
You know what I have to say? I really love the genie.
You get to be everybody if you do the genie.
Yeah.
I love the genie. I love Robin Williams.
That's cool. That's a really fun answer, actually.
Okay.
And one more.
Okay. I wish I had like a fishbowl because it's like hard to. Oh my goodness.
Oh wait, what was that one?
We got that one. If you Keaton, can the giant shout out this?
Oh yeah. Okay. So that's fair.
Yeah.
We usually give shout out to the chat. If you guys could shout out their names in the voice of
the
Giants.
In the voice of the Giants.
Here, scroll up so they can see.
Yeah, we're going to scroll up. So, like, their names are in gray. So, if you guys just want to, like, start taking names and, like, shouting them out in your Giants voice, I feel like they'd be so excited.
Here, scroll up so they can see more names. Like,
scroll the screen up.
Yeah. Shout out to, she moved the thing on me.
I'm so sorry.
I can't see anything now.
I'm scared.
To Alyssa Wassum. Or I said to Miranda Perry. And Mouse Talk. Sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah, I like that Emily Saunders.
Alyssa Wassum.
It's Elisa. I just learned that.
Oh, Elisa. Oh, sorry.
Is that Maggie? Maggie Kutzel.
Oh,
<yeah. laughs>
I was moving a lot. And Bendy.
Bendy.
Bendy. He's like a straw.
He's wiggly and chewy like.
Oh, and Evelyn.
Oh, Jimenez. I like them because they're a little bit spicy, ain't they? Those Latins.
Oh, yeah.
Got a little extra flavor to
them. Mouse talk. Hey. Hey. It's for horses. I like meat.
I don't want to stop.
Listen, guys, next week, we're just doing an hour of this.
We don't like the BFG because he's a vegan, isn't he?
He is.
He eats squash, I noticed.
You runt.
Only organic.
I also want to say, in my mind, I imagine the three trolls from The Hobbit as well, like just like arguing over how they're going to cook the hobbits.
Can you guys say our names?
Yeah, can you say ours?
Leo.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, hi there, Keaton.
Thank you guys so much
for
that.
Oh my gosh, that
and
was
thank you
so
to
wonderful.
Everyone out there in the chat room who tuned in to watch this. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for all of your interaction. We really appreciate it. And thank you to our guests, you guys.
Yes,
thank you so much for coming in.
Great time.
Thanks for playing with us.
Thank
like,
you
it was so much fun.
Great stories, but one more to go after this. The show.
One more.
I'm never forgetting.
And anytime you guys want to come back, you just let us know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And make sure you guys subscribe to Popcorn Talk on YouTube, and you can follow me at Mr. Leo Zombie. Where can they follow you?
You guys can follow me again all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey, and where can they follow you guys and what you guys are up to?
At Paul Moniz de Sa.
And at the Daniel Bacon.
Do it, or they'll eat your bones. Apparently. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.